Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. All I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again who I am to you. Who I am. Lest I forget who I am to you. I belong to you. To you. When the heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you. Who I am. Lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag.org. BethanyHour.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed here looking into the book of Luke, chapter 18. Those of you who've been following along, last week we kind of backtracked a little, and the week before we talked about the rich young ruler, how he came to Jesus and he wanted to know what he needed to do to get into eternal life. And Jesus says, why do you call me a good teacher? He says, there's only one but good. And of course, the rich young ruler had a lot of things on his mind, thought he would get right into heaven real easy because everything that Jesus said. He says, I've done that. But then Jesus threw in the stickler. He threw in the old wrench in, the monkey wrench in, and he says, well, all you got to do is sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me.
Oh, man. You know, we want the easy way into heaven. I think everybody wants it. And he said, I've done everything. I've kept all the commandments.
All of them.
Except to that one about coveting or whatever. You know, there's a few in there that I mean.
So. Yeah. And, you know, it does talk about, Jesus did talk about how hard it is for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Gave several parables about that too. And it's quite interesting because honestly, the gospel is all about trusting. And if you've got money you can trust in, you don't need to trust in much else, right?
Yeah.
You know, I need a new car. Lord, I'm praying for a new car. No, I remember actually when I was much younger, I was holding home Bible studies, about 17 of them down in Florida. And I would go from one to another. And there was one man who his job was, he provided cowboy boots for 300 clients.
Wow.
And that's all he did. And so if a new leather came on the market, he would make cowboy boots, and he had 300 clients.
Yeah.
And the last cowboy boots that he had finished were unborn giraffe skin.
Wow.
They were expensive.
Yeah.
Real expensive.
Yeah.
So that's all he did. And
man.
He's a strange fella. Because he just had this concept about him, you know, when it came to money. He in one of his Bible studies, because he led this Bible study in his home, he said that God told me that he was going to give me a green Cadillac.
Okay.
You know, and so I'm a young guy, and I'm saying, wow, this guy's got some faith. So 2 weeks later, I saw him go by with a brand spanking new green Cadillac.
Cadillac, yeah.
And I was going, my goodness, this faith is really working stuff.
Wow.
So finally, I asked somebody with him, I says, how did he get that? How did he get the faith for that? He says, no, he just went down to the bank. He just went down and bought the car. Well, he just had the money.
He paid cash. He sold two boots.
That's it.
Wow.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to really take a look. And this is why I think it's hard when you're trusting in riches. When you have everything that you need and you don't ever have to trust God for anything. That's why Jesus said it's so difficult, because we have to learn how to trust.
You know, and that's one of the key ingredients here. And the rich young ruler, I think, had a problem with that.
He did.
All of his worldly possessions and everything, he figured he could just hold on to that and still get into heaven, because his was based on doing.
Right.
But
that's exactly right.
Jesus is saying it's more based on the heart.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Jesus used these wonderful parables and stories. And I had heard theologians, and I had finally saw it when I went to Israel. And Jesus says that indeed, entering into the kingdom of God, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so a lot of people say, well, yeah, the eye of a needle, you take a needle, you can't get through the eye of the needle. But there's actually a door in Jerusalem, one of the gates. It's called the eye of the needle. And basically, it's so narrow and so small that a camel, if it comes to the gate, they'd have to unload everything that was on it. You couldn't put anything the guy was bringing to market. He'd take everything off the camel, and the camel would have to get on its knees to go through the gate.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, whoa, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah,
I mean,
huh?
So if you're in Jerusalem and you go see the eye of the needle, the actual doorway, you can see why they call it the eye of the needle. But you have to humble yourself, obviously, get on your knees, and you can't take anything with you.
Can't take it with you. Wow.
So very interesting how Jesus took these simple sights and turned it into a principle here, and it's really cool.
Oh,
so
true.
We'll pick it up in verse number 27, and where Jesus replied, what's impossible with men is possible with God, because the disciples asked them, then who can be saved? If a rich man cannot be saved, who can be saved? And I would imagine that back in those days, that prosperity was a sign that God was blessing you, and so that was a sign that you were truly blessed by God, and prosperity gospel, if you will. And so people thought, well, I mean, if you don't have money, I mean, how can you possibly get saved that this rich guy is not going to make it into the kingdom?
Yeah, I mean, he had money.
He had everything.
He hadn't broken the commandments.
Right.
You know, Jesus said, you know the commandments. He says, all these I have kept since I was a youth, since I was a boy. And so this guy had it all going. He was holy in the sight of men. He had the blessing of God on his life because he had wealth. And so the disciples are looking at him going, God, how can this be? What must, and Jesus is saying, you know, it's impossible with men, but you know, and it's impossible for us to get into heaven in our own merits. We can't get there because somewhere along the way we will have sinned, and sin can't enter heaven.
That's a pretty powerful message of the gospel right there in just one verse when Jesus says that what is impossible with men is possible with God.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful, that really is the gospel message because a lot of people try to work their way into heaven. They try to do good deeds. They try to say, I'm a nice person. And I've given money, you know, that's the old adage. Yeah. Pastor, if I give $1 million, can I get into heaven?
Get into heaven?
Right? Pastor says, I'm not sure, but it's worth a try.
It's worth a try.
So here, what's impossible with men is possible with God. And anybody knows anything about the gospel knows that's the only way you get in by the grace of God. It's just by the grace of God because of what Christ has done for you, what God has done for you. He's taken your place. And so that's the only way it's possible because he was the only one that could, that lived the holy life. He came and he did it.
God clothed himself in flesh. God became a man. And it was impossible for man to get into heaven.
Impossible.
But God became a man so that he could make it possible for man to get into heaven. But it's only through the person and work of Jesus Christ.
And then Peter now, seeing that this rich man, Jesus said, if you give up everything and give it to the poor and follow me, you can make it into heaven. Yeah. Peter's not coming along now. Peter now says,
I got this
worked out, Lord. Peter says to him in verse number 28, hey, Lord, we left all. Everything we had to follow.
You told that guy to give it all up. Hey, that's what we've done,
that's
Jesus.
What we've done.
So we're in, right?
We're in. Yeah, we got it made. I love, you know, you can understand where these guys are coming from, but here, this is pretty amazing. And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Jesus said to them, no one who has left home, wife or brother, parents, children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. So he puts his fear to rest.
Yeah. He does a wonderful, you know, Peter's such an interesting character. Yeah. It would be really interesting. I haven't done it ever, but I think I'm going to. I think I'm going to look at all the sayings of Peter and all the times
that he spoke.
Just to get an idea of where it was going, to the context of what he was saying. You know, here he's like, you know, I don't know how he said it, the inflection in his voice, but, you know, knowing Peter, he's like, well, we've done that, Jesus. We're with you. You know, we left it all, and here we are. And Jesus says, let me tell you what you've done, you know. And he kind of, like you said, affirms him and says, thank you for doing that. And because you've done that, because you're willing to sacrifice, because you're willing to let go of the things of this world, because we're not of this world, he says, you're going to get so much more in eternity. So that is a great statement.
It is a good statement. Jesus really calms his fears and says, you're doing the right thing by following me. But you're right. The concepts that Peter gives us, sometimes they're so different.
He
one minute he's on, next minute he's off.
Off.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The complexity of Peter's words might be a good way to say it.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like all of us. I mean, when you come down to it, all of us, we have discrepancies in our life. One minute we're good, next minute we're not so good. One time we do the right thing, next time we don't. So we say the right thing, next time we don't. We should be more careful with what we do.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what Peter really needs to know. He has to be a little more careful about what he does. But it's pretty interesting that Jesus does calm his fears and say, following me is the right thing to do.
Right.
No, I mean, he says, you're going to be blessed by following me. And really what Christianity is really all about is following Jesus, isn't it?
It is. It's about surrendering everything to him being Lord of your life. That whole phrase, to be Lord of your life. We think of him as Savior. He saved me from my sins.
Right.
But when he becomes Lord of your life, that means you surrender everything to him, and he's now your leader. He'll lead you and guide you. And sometimes it may mean, you know, if you're a single person, it may mean calling you overseas to some foreign place, and you leave home and family and friends, or, you know, or whatever the case may be. He may ask you to take some drastic steps and sacrifices for him here on earth for a short period of time. But he says the benefits far outweigh the sacrifices that you you have to make in eternity.
Well, yeah, he does say something about if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it.
You'll find it.
But if you try to keep it, you'll lose it.
You'll lose it.
And I think I mentioned on a Wednesday night that, you know, it's interesting that here's Jesus. He always tells the truth. He's the creator of mankind. And when he created man and woman, it's interesting the way he made us in as creation, because when he created us, he gave us 46 chromosomes. The man has 46, the woman has 46. Yeah. But if you're going to create life, the man has to surrender 23 of his chromosomes, and the woman has to sacrifice 23 of her chromosomes to come together, or you won't get any life.
Wow.
It only happens when you surrender.
Right.
And you have to surrender 23 of your chromosomes. And it's, you know, it's kind of amazing when you think about God. That's the way he created life, through surrender. And it's pretty interesting.
It's awesome.
It really is.
So
God,
awesome.
God, from the very beginning when he created us, he gave us a picture of really what is life.
Yeah.
Life is surrendering to his will.
To his will.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Jesus again predicts his death. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he'll rise from the dead." Now, you know, usually when you think about a preacher, he doesn't really get negative like this. This is pretty downright negative here. Yeah. He's telling his disciples, "Follow me, but look where I'm going to go."
Yeah. Follow me, guys. Let me tell you what's going to happen in the next few days.
Yeah,
I'm going to be beaten, flogged, handed over to the Romans. Yeah. They're going to spit on me. Boy, that's always exciting. They're going to kill me.
So Peter.
Follow me.
Peter's in a dilemma, because he says, "Lord, I want to follow you. This guy, you said, this guy followed me, and I'm going to do the same thing, Lord. I'm going to follow you." And Jesus says, "Well, don't worry. You're going to get taken care of, but if you're going to follow me, look where I'm going."
Look where I'm going. Oh, man.
It's a complexity. And the truth is, it's interesting to me that he says he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He already knows that it's not going to be the Jewish people that are going to get him. He already knows that it's going to be the Romans. He already, you know, they want Rome out of the picture and everything. And here he says, "I'm going to be turned over to them."
Right.
And they're going to not only mock me. And that's when they did. They put a robe on him, and they put a crown of thorns on him, and they mocked him, and they insulted him.
Yep.
They spit on him, and they flogged him. And, you know, when you watch the Passion by Mel Gibson and the flogging he took.
Isn't it?
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean.
You know, we think about Scripture, and we think about the Bible, and I don't think we can get the real picture, because we're so far removed from the cultural setting of what it meant to get flogged you know,
we're
all
far
this that Jesus went through, to really understand the pain and anguish and, you know, ravaging that his body took because of that heinous act. And yet he knew it was coming. He was prepared for it, and he was preparing them for it. But even then, I don't think they could understand what was coming or what he was going to go through for you and for me,
right,
so that we could enter into this eternal life that he promised to us. If we sacrifice here, listen to what I'm going to sacrifice. Mm. He talks about his sacrifice here. It's not just us. He had to sacrifice something as well.
Yeah, you're right. I think our culture doesn't understand too much about real commitment. It's an entitlement type of program. We're entitled. I remember when we were in Taiwan, there were some young teenagers that scratched a car, did something in Singapore, and they didn't flog them, but they caned them.
They caned them.
They caned them. And everybody in America was upset by that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like if you take a strap and give your child a spanking,
a swat,
you get in trouble today.
Yep. Yeah.
But look at what they're doing back here.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, we're so far removed from this.
Right.
It's almost though we want paradise now.
Right.
We want paradise now. We don't want to have to work. Don't have to do anything. We want paradise now.
Yeah.
But then it says on the third day, Jesus says, he says on the third day, he says he's going to rise again.
Yeah.
hey, Resurrection Day is right around the corner.
It's, you know what, we're looking forward to Easter Sunday. Like you said, it's happening here. I can't imagine what was going through the minds of the disciples.
I can't imagine either.
As they traveled with Jesus, as they heard and saw, saw what he did, heard what he said, watched these interchanges between Jesus and the rich young ruler and the little children and all of this stuff, and then Jesus coming back saying, you know, the prophets are saying that the Son of Man was going to be betrayed and killed, but on that third day, he was going to rise again. I'm sure there were still questions in their mind going, where is he getting this stuff? What's he, you know? And the same is true for us today. We still have those questions. We still wonder, how can I get into heaven? How does Jesus's death on a cross make any difference to me? And how does that resurrection mean anything to me? Well, it does. And the Holy Spirit gives us revelation. As we read this book, the Holy Spirit shines a light on it, and we begin to understand it.
And just like you mentioned, the next verse says the disciples did not understand any of this. They didn't understand a single word of it because it says its meaning was hidden from them and they did not know what he was talking about.
Wow.
So they didn't even understand it here. They're obviously, the whole connection with this, what we have read, is about getting into the kingdom of heaven, right? Because this rich ruler came up and wanted to know how I can find eternal life. And the whole concept came up that it's too hard for you. The only way you can get in there is through God. And he's pointing to the self. Now he says it's only through God. And now he says, here, I'm going to go and sacrifice myself. I'm going to die for you. Yeah. I'm going to take your place. That's the only way you're going to get in. Only God can make this happen. And here he's going to do it. That's what he says. Going to do it. But they didn't understand that.
They didn't understand the fact that
Jesus is saying, I am going to go take your place. I'm going to die for you so that you can get into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And that's really what he says in these few verses that we read. But they didn't understand it. Just like you say, people don't understand it today. And I think because the Bible says Satan has blinded the minds of men, lest this glorious gospel should shine unto them.
You know, there's a fog that's over our eyes. There's a blinders. I think Paul talks about a smoke screen in Corinthians. He says there's something that covers our eyes.
Yeah.
And we don't really grasp the person and work of Jesus Christ, the wonderful, glorious Holy Spirit that comes in and brings this revelation knowledge so that when we do open the book of Luke, we can understand it and see it in the wonderful truth that it portrays and the wonderful difference that it can make in our life. Some people even think that Barnabas was the rich ruler. I've heard that in some
field,
you know, that somewhere along that, probably after the death, burial, resurrection,
eyes opened.
His eyes were open and he saw it and he let go of everything and became of it. There's no way to prove that or disprove that, but I'm sure that even though he went away sad because he was wealthy, as he saw the next few days and weeks unfold, he may have turned his heart and life over
to Jesus. So let's hope that you, during this Easter season, as we're celebrating Easter, you'll begin to understand what Easter really means. Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.